Good morning. I'm Jonathan New, and I welcome you to worship with First Congregational Church of Natick, an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ. On behalf of the God who offers extravagant welcome, and on behalf of this congregation that is ever seeking to extend such hospitality to all people, I greet you on this second Sunday of Advent as we gather to worship the God of peace. I extend a warm welcome to those of you who are worshiping with us by our live-streamed or our recorded broadcast. No matter how you entered worship this day, I hope that you will all remember that the power of the Holy Spirit fills this congregation and helps to bind it together and to be the church that God is calling it to be. No matter who you are or where you might be on life's journey, you are warmly welcomed by this congregation. So we have a few announcements this morning. We want to thank our worship leaders, our liturgists and greeters and ushers. We also thank Hank Serretter and Randy Brewer for their technical expertise that's making today's broadcast possible. And also, as always, to Pegasus Natick for a broadcast of this worship. We also thank Doug and Sarah Hanna, who will be our Advent candle lighters this morning. I would invite you to take a close look at that covenant for our worshiping community that you'll find on the inside of the cover of the bulletin. This reminds us of the ways that we have agreed that we'll be safe together during this worship time for those of us who are in person here. Just a couple of reminders, we have returned to singing here in worship. I just would invite you to sing and not sing as exuberantly, perhaps, as you might normally if it weren't COVID times. We have a time of sharing in prayer, celebrations and concerns that have come to us. So if you were in person here in worship this day, you'll find that there are index cards there in the pew for you to write a prayer request if you'd like it lifted up in today's worship, and an usher will collect that just before the time of the prayer. And if you're at home, you can email us at prayers@firstchurchnatick.org, and if we receive that by the time of the reflection, we should be able to incorporate it into our worship this day. For those of you who are at home, a couple of things. This will be lighting Advent candles, and so we're inviting you to have Advent candles available for your worship experience. We'll be doing that in lieu of lighting the Christ candle during this Advent season. And also, we are celebrating communion today, and so we invite you to have communion elements available, something that will serve as bread, something that will serve as wine. For those of you who are here in person for worship, we'll continue to use those prepackaged communion sets. I know you love these things. The gourmet experience is amazing. And so what we invite you to, we're going to make sure you have enough time to open these. I know that these can be a little challenge. Believe me, I have tried this myself. So there is a plastic top that you peel back that reveals that wafer, and then underneath there a foil that you have to peel back to reveal the juice. So we invite you to do that. If you haven't received one when you arrive, just put your hand up and let an usher know that you're in need of that. It is the Christmas season, or nearly, and so we invite you, for those of you who would like to order poinsettias during this year, we're going to be using these poinsettias during the Christmas Eve service, and then they'll be distributed to those of you who have purchased them, and also as well to shut-ins and others who aren't able to come to worship during this time. So we invite you to order those. There'll be volunteers who are ready to receive your order at the rear of the sanctuary following this Sunday, and I believe next Sunday at least as well. And Karen Shirley's here to give us an announcement.
It's here. Victorian Christmas is here. It starts this afternoon at 4 o'clock. We still have plenty of costumes in the back. They're free. Just come and check one out. We hope that you will join us at 4 o'clock today. We'll start in the front and come enjoy a wonderful step back in time. Thanks.
A little singing, a little music, a little poetry, a little scripture, just time to be together and to enter more fully into this season. So 4 o'clock today, and that will be followed almost immediately by our outdoor Advent candle lighting. So that'll happen around 5 o'clock. today. So you can do both of those things. You can do one of those things. It is truly your choice. The Advent candle lighting is a relatively brief service. There will be a little music as well. And we hope that you will take advantage of those opportunities. So we offer all those opportunities because we know this is a season that sometimes requires a little work to get into. It's easy to know that we've got a Christmas list. It's easy to know we want to decorate things, but this is also a time when we invite every person among us to deepen their spirituality and to become prepared, or as prepared as possible, for the possibility that God has entered and does enter and will enter our world and our lives. Peace is the theme of this second Sunday of Advent. Our need of it, our lack of it, our distance from it. And yet we hear of the promised coming of the Prince of Peace and of the establishment of that deeper peace that we know of as shalom, that sense of wholeness, that sense of the rightness of things. Such peace is the primary characteristic of God's realm of love. As our Advent pilgrimage continues, then, may we remember that receiving such peace begins by living in the ways of peace that Jesus taught us, doing justice with compassion as a guide.
Good morning. We gather around the Advent wreath knowing that we are not perfect, that we all make mistakes and do bad things. Only Jesus obeyed God fully. Jesus helps us to live as God wants us to live. Jesus gives peace.
Scripture reading from the prophet Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this.
We light these Advent candles to proclaim the coming of the light of God into the world. We relight the first Advent candle to remind us that Jesus' coming brought hope into a dark world. As we light the second Advent candle, we proclaim that with the coming of this light, there is peace. For Christ is called the Prince of Peace. Christ's name is Emmanuel, God with us, the presence of God with us, or Christ with us, gives us peace day by day. Please join us in praying our unison prayer. Holy One, we thank you for the glimpses we catch of your gift of peace on earth.
even in the midst of fear, of challenge, of struggle, even when we aren't sure that goodwill among us can be found, ignite the flame of peace within us, that we might glow with its brilliance from the inside out. Amen.
Please join me in the opening prayer as we say together, Gracious God, prepare our hearts and minds to receive your deep peace. In the busyness of Christmas preparations, take from us all weariness of spirit. Hush the anxieties that shout in our minds. Release us from bondage to irritations that deplete our energy. Prepare us now to receive your living word of peace that comes to us all in the wilderness, places of our lives. Amen.
So continuing to remain physically distant, I yet invite you to open your spirits to one another during a time of sharing the peace of Christ, reaching out your hands perhaps in a gesture of blessing or placing your hands over your heart with the intention of opening yourselves to God's Spirit and sharing your spirit with others, or perhaps using the word namaste with a bow, which reminds us that the divine in me recognizes and honors the divine in you. The peace of Christ be with you. So we come to a time now and we invite the children among us, or those who are going to go off to Godly Play and Connect programming that's happening downstairs. And we can follow Sarah Lynn through that door over there. And I would just say, may God be with you there. So Jesus said, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. May our giving this day emerge from merciful hearts. This morning's offering will now be lifted up. Let us pray. God of peace, we bring you an offering of faith that waits with hope and anticipation for the dawning of Christ's light in the darkness, energizing the church in mission and in justice seeking. Bless these gifts and enable them and us to further your way of peace. Amen.
The scripture reading today comes from the prophet Isaiah and the Gospel of Matthew, beginning in Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 5. Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries out, in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places plain. And then the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all people shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And continuing in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. In those days, John the Baptist appeared in the wilderness of Judea, proclaiming, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. This is the one of whom the prophet Isaiah spoke when he said, the voice of one crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord and make his paths straight. Now John wore clothing of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locusts and wild honey. Then the people of Jerusalem and all Judea were going out to him and all the region along the Jordan, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit worthy of repentance. Do not assume to say to yourselves, we have Abraham as our ancestor. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, does not bear good fruit, is cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to carry his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear the threshing floor and will gather his wheat into the granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Here ends our reading for today.
Please pray with me. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So I read these Advent readings every year, and I think the same thing. I think Advent arrives. We start to prepare for Christmas. We start on our gift lists. We begin decorating. Even here you can see we've done a number of things to make sure that we're in the spirit with garlands and a tree and Advent candles and all those things. And for some of us, our decorating is nearly complete. We are set for a visit from jolly old Saint Nick. And yet, no matter how far into the season we think that we are, our holiday joy is nipped in the bud, coming face to face with a very different bearded man dressed in camel's hair, proclaiming, "Repent." So, why is John here in this season? John is here in the season, I think, to remind us that while we wait Jesus' birth, that God's arrival has implications for how we live in the here and now. He echoed Isaiah, "Make straight in the desert a highway, valleys lifted up and mountains made low, the uneven ground leveled, the rough places smooth." See, the Babylonians built special roads for annual processions of the idols that they worshiped. Isaiah is countering. He's countering that the one true God will lead the exiled Israelites on a highway from Babylon back to the Promised Land. That's what's happening in this scripture from Isaiah. So far from redecorating, Isaiah and John are calling for something really quite different, and that is reconstruction. Reconstruction. This is kind of an infrastructure upgrade. Not just to be able to go faster from point A to point B, but to help establish Shalom, that comprehensive peace that means wholeness and harmony, and as I said before, the rightness of things. This deeper peace, I think, explains why Isaiah's image works. Peace is a path discovered at just the moment when the way is uncleared. An escape route in the moment of hard circumstances, a return home with blessings at the end of the journey, and as God's highway, love and justice and nurture along the way. Sounds pretty good, right? So here's the catch. Well, we've got to build this highway. John tells us how. And what does he say? He says, "Repent, repent." So let's just remember a couple of things. Repentance signifies a change of heart, right? But it literally means to turn around, to turn around. John's command is like Get yourself a new orientation for the way you live and then act on that new orientation. For John, there is an intense sense of urgency. God's realm is near, and so repentance now is important, returning to God. And in the next chapter of Matthew, from the one that we heard today, Jesus is going to conclude his first sermon by echoing John. He's going to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of God has come near." So our response to this inbreaking of God's realm is what's at stake here, what is key. This realm arrives when we are continually turning toward God. As John says, by bearing fruit worthy of repentance, bearing fruit worthy of repentance. We return to God by how we act, living out right relationship with God and self and with neighbor as well. So I know some of you, at least, will remember way back in 2004 when the United Church of Christ tried to air a television commercial, an ad, and was denied by the major networks. The commercial depicting bouncers at a church door who were regularly saying, "No, not you, no, not you," and just letting some through the barrier was, yes, it was edgy. It suggested that churches, as much as they say that they are friendly, don't always welcome all people. And it declared Jesus didn't turn people away, and as the United Church of Christ, neither do we. So here's what I'm interested in. The networks back then said that they rejected this ad because it spoke about the exclusion of gay couples, and the executive branch had recently proposed a constitutional amendment to define marriage as a union between a man and a woman. But here's the thing. The ad neither endorsed homosexuality nor spoke about gay marriage. It simply addressed exclusion. Concluding, the United Church of Christ, no matter who you are or where you might be on life's journey, you are welcome here. In fact, this ad, even though it never appeared in those major networks, did something for us. It helped us put words to the core values and commitments that we have been feeling as a denomination, and ever since this was articulated in this way, we've found words for the things that we are aspiring to be. Alan Wurtzel, who was then NBC's head of broadcast standards, said that the ad throws down the gauntlet at a variety of other churches that allegedly do not accept gays or minorities. And yet we know, 17 years later, many still feel that some churches do exclude them because of race, because of poverty, because of sexual orientation, because of disability, among other things. The UCC ad offered an alternative meant especially for those that the church, for whom the church has alienated. The extravagant welcome lived and advocated by the one for whom during Advent we claim we are preparing. Or we can choose to deny that the child born in the manger grew up to minister to women, which was shocking in Jesus' day, and to lepers, those who were ritually impure, or tax collectors who were traitors to Israel, Gentiles who were outsiders, prostitutes who were outcasts, sinners of all kinds. The one who tells us the blessed are those who care for the least among us. The one who taught us all the commandments can really be summed up in loving God and loving our neighbor as ourselves. And then showed us all that even the stranger is our neighbor. The one who told us God is like a loving parent who runs to embrace and celebrate the one child who has run away, but who is returning home, repenting, right? The ad didn't throw down the gauntlet. It held up a mirror, really. And that is why it was rejected. It made too many people uncomfortable about what they saw in the mirror. So this could sound like ancient history, but I really don't think it is. I think it's our history. It's the history of a church that's aspiring to be and to become all the more welcoming, particularly of those the church has cast out through the things it's done and the things it hasn't done. The observance this past week of World AIDS Day brought this back to me. I thought of my cousin Baxter, smart and creative and loving and gay, growing up in the conservative social and religious climate of Dallas, Texas. He was, frankly, too different for his time and place to find real acceptance. He had reason to be deeply troubled, and he was deeply troubled. And sadly, in 1986, at age 28, he died of AIDS. So here is why our church's identity as a place of extravagant welcome matters. I don't know if Baxter would have come here. I really don't, and that's really not the point. Because I know others like him who yearn to be embraced as the people who God made them to be deserve the radical hospitality that we are seeking to extend to all people. Moreover, this is how I believe we begin to prepare God's highway of peace. It exemplifies what theologian Gabriel Facker has tried to lay out in his concept of eglatzen. And this is, I know this is kind of funny, but this is the word nostalgia spelled backwards. It's a way to help remind us that who we are as Christians and that feeling of nostalgia, that looking back, we can identify with that feeling. Right? The point that Facker is trying to make here is that eglatzen, this word, symbolizes how Christians are nostalgic about the future. Nostalgic about the future. How we yearn for God's future realm of peace to come, and how we desire for such shalom. And how it prompts us to begin to live now the future that we believe God is calling us into, of love, of justice, and of true welcome. Peace isn't the absence of struggle, said Frederick Buechner, but the presence of love. And so our redecorating isn't enough. As we prepare for God to draw near to us and establish a realm of peace. of peace. We need the reconstruction involved in building God's highway of peace, and we need the renovation of our lives as well, as we return to God and neighbor in love and work to usher in God's realm of peace by walking in the ways of peace, here and now. And so may the Spirit of the living God, who comes to us and abides with us, help make that so. That's my prayer. Amen. We come to a time now of lifting up prayer concerns and celebrations that have come to us. And there are many that are in our worship bulletin. If you're here in person today and you have a prayer concern or celebration you'd like me to lift up, just hold it up and an usher will collect it. So we lift up these additional prayers for a family friend, Kevin, who is having heart surgery on Monday, for a friend who is waiting on medical results, for Ronald Tufano, who is experiencing serious medical issues. Also, all people in communities grieving gun violence, remembering Madison Baldwin, Hannah St. Tate, Juliana, Justin Schilling. We also lift up in prayer those who are intimately affected by this week's school shooting specifically. May they know that the God of all holds their broken hearts and spirits. So let us recommit ourselves to being a people of peace. I invite you to be in prayer with me. Long for, Lord, to you, fulfiller of hopes, we lift the dreams and the yearnings of our hearts lifted up this day and for many of us in many days. From you come all good deeds and all worthy aspirations. And yet we know that not all of our desires for the future are either good or worthy. And so this Advent, Holy One, fit us with new dreams. Kindle our desire to soothe the wounded world with your good news. Supply us with both motive and means to fulfill your vision of what our lives are meant to be. Consecrate our dreams, that with all our heart and mind and strength we may honor you now and forever. Most of all, help us to be useful in the cause, the elusive cause of peace. That our love of all your people serve as a model of reconciling community, building bridges where there is mistrust and where there is separation. Help us keep in mind that the same Jesus who came to us on the first Christmas and who promised to return is also with us now, encouraging us as agents of his mercy and heralds of his justice in response to his love for us and for all your children. We pray these things in the name of the one who has come and is coming to establish shalom, and who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. You who come to me shall not hunger. You who believe in me shall never thirst. In company with all who hunger and thirst for spiritual food, we come to this table to know the risen Christ in this life-giving bread and wine. This communion is open to all people. Come, people of God. For all things have been made ready. On the night when Jesus was betrayed, Jesus took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to the disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, after supper, Jesus took the cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to the disciples, saying, "Drink, all of you, for this is my blood in the new covenant, which has been poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you drink it, do this in remembrance of me." Beloved, we are one bread, one body, one cup of blessing. Though we are many throughout the earth and this church community is scattered, we are one yet in Christ. Wherever you may be, we rest our hands lightly upon these elements as we ask God's blessing upon them. And I invite you to pray with me. Gracious God, bless this bread and cup and all of us with the outpouring of your Holy Spirit. Through this meal, make us the body of Christ, the church, your servant people, that we may be salt and light and leaven for the furtherance of your will in the world. Amen. Now let us, in our many places, receive the gift of God, the bread of heaven. Let us in our many places receive the gift of God, the cup of blessing.
We are one in Christ, in the cup we share.
I invite you now to take and eat. And I invite us now to pray together. We give you thanks, O God, that you have come to us through Jesus, both in the midst of time and history in the city of Bethlehem, and in the timeless presence of Christ's Spirit as we receive the gifts of bread and wine. Send us out into the world with your peace, ready to share your love with all people.
Thank you.
Go forth now in the love of God, and as you do, may the tender mercy of God dawn upon you, and may the hope from on high shine brightly for you, guiding your feet in the way of peace. Go now in the peace of Christ. Amen.